Man, what a powerful name, the name of Jesus. How many know that name? Amen. He's good, isn't he? Praise God. If you don't know him, you're in the right place today. Praise God. I want you to stand this morning and turn to Proverbs 4:23. We've been teaching on the orphan's heart. I don't know when I'm going to finish this series. About the time I think I'm going to wrap it up, then the Lord just pours more things in my life and heart. And I think it is because so many people, even Christians, deal with this area that has really not totally been healed. And God has total healing for you. He said, I'm the fatherless. I'm the father to the fatherless. Amen. God wants to be your daddy. He wants to be your Abba Father. Amen. He loves you that much today. And so there's just so much that is being revealed here in the scripture and in the word. And God wants your heart to be intact. He wants it to be whole. He wants it to be complete. And we're going to talk about a little bit about relationships today, I think. I'm not sure if I'm going to get down that far today, but I want us to read Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Wow. Turn to someone and say, no issues here, right? Amen. Hold up your Bible this morning. We like to say this at Discovery Church. Amen. Say it like you mean it today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five and say, you are loved today. Amen. You are. Praise God. God is so good, so awesome. Hallelujah. He loves you today. He cares for you today. You know, if you're new here, and we welcome you this morning, and I have to kind of go back through some things a little bit to explain to you about the heart, because a lot of people really don't have a full understanding. They don't have a full understanding of how we are made in the image of God and how God made us. And 5:23 talks about how we are made. We are made of spirit, soul, and body. So you are spirit. That spirit is revived, is brand new in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away, the Bible says. All things have become new. Amen. You're not dying, you know, daily. You're dead. In Christ, you are dead. Your old man is dead, and your new man is alive. And that new man is your new spirit. You have a brand new you inside of you. Amen. And it has everything deposited in your spirit that pertains to life and godliness. Whoa, amen, that's you, amen. You don't have just, you know, a little bit of faith. You have the measure of faith that's been given to all people. We have that in our spirit. We have the same spirit in us that raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. You have, yeah, go ahead, give him some praise. Amen. You know that? That is a revelation. You have that same spirit dwelling in you. Praise God, man. With all the things God has provided, healing, life, peace, joy, long-suffering, all of the fruit of the Spirit is contained in you. Praise God. It is there already in your spirit, man. Then you have a soul. Wow. That soul is still being transformed on a daily basis into what we have in the Spirit. Amen. Through our mind, we have a mind. Our soul is our personality, our mind, our makeup. It has feelings, right? Amen. The soul has emotions, and you know, a lot of people live on those emotions and still living out of the Spirit. God doesn't want you living out of the emotions. It'll get you in trouble every time. God wants you to live out of the Spirit, because the Spirit is life and peace. God doesn't want you just floating around somewhere, just how you feel about this or how you feel about that, or, you know, that will get you in such trouble. God wants you, a mature believer, living out of the Spirit and the Word. The Spirit and the Word bring life to you, amen? You will never go wrong when you're living out of the Spirit and the Word. If you're living out of your emotions, you'll be a yo-yo Christian. Up and down, in and out, oh my gosh, amen. Confused, you know, certain, and just live out of the Word, church. Never go wrong. Never go wrong living out of the Word. It's always good. Then you have a body. You know, body's just kind of a neutral thing. It has, you know, hunger pains and things like that. And, you know, it speaks to us every once in a while. But basically, it's neutral. It goes along with what the soul tells it to do or the spirit. Amen? And then, on top of that, you have a heart. And that's what the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:23, that we have a heart. And that heart there is flows the issues of life. The heart is that really decision maker. If your heart is full of good, you're going to make good decisions. If your heart is full of bad, you're going to make bad decisions. And what happens is a lot of people have an orphan heart or an orphan spirit. They really have not understood the fullness of God's unconditional love and grace. They put in their image and in their mind the image of a father they may have had here on earth, or someone in their life that they looked up to on earth that hurt them, that rejected them. And so a lot of times an orphan spirit, they can never be pleasing enough. An orphan spirit a lot of times seeks law instead of grace. Anybody with me this morning? You know, they've been rejected. They've been downtrodden. They've been abandoned. Holly and I were taking a walk up the other day, and you guys know I love dogs. Dogs are awesome. Now, I have to admit, there was a cute cat around my house this morning, and I said, that's a cute cat, you know. That was grace for that cat, by the way. I know some of you are real cat lovers, and I love you. I know Greg. Yeah, where you at, Greg? Where you at, brother? Is he in here this morning? He was around somewhere. He's a cat lover, man. Yeah, I'm a dog lover. And the other day we were walking, and we were walking down the street, and this lady is walking. This dog, was it a Schnauzer? I believe it was a Schnauzer. And we had a Schnauzer for 15 years. They're great dogs. Love Schnauzers. They're awesome. I got a grand dog, Schnauzer. Amen. And so they're great dogs. And she was walking down the street, and I stopped, and I said, oh, you got a Schnauzer. And I went to pet that dog. And when I went to pet that dog pulled away and put its head down. Instantly, I thought, that dog's an orphan. And I asked her, I said, may I ask you, where did you get your dog at? She said, oh, we picked him up at a pound. Somebody had placed him there. See, he was 6 years old when we picked him up. And I could tell right away that that dog had been abused. And you know, that's the way many people have a concept of God when they have an orphan spirit. They bow their head, they're back up. They don't really know if they can trust this God. But I want to tell you, you can trust him. He is a good, good God. He is full of love for you even when you fail. The Bible says, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. He is that good. He loves you that much today. Amen. And he cares so much for you. And as you're established in sonship instead of an orphan spirit, your life is going to change forever. Because you're going to be able to receive all that love that God has for you. You're going to have such a security that when people talk about you, it won't matter. Amen. You will have no doubt that God loves you. God cares for you. God's so good to you. Amen. You have that expectation of good every day because you know you serve such a good God. Hallelujah. I want us to go. We're going to go a little different path this morning. Is that all right? We're going to still talk about this, but we're going to go a little different path. And so I want you to turn over to Matthew 15, 16 through 20. Matthew 15, 16 through 20. Look what Jesus said about the heart. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Turn to somebody and say, don't be duh. Come on. Turn to somebody and say, don't be duh. Amen. Are you still without understanding? You know? Are you still without understanding? Listen, as a disciple, you know, God didn't want to keep you on the outside. He wants to keep you on the inside. As a son, you're on the inside. You're in with the in crowd. I'm in with the in crowd. That's way too old for some of you. I go where the in crowd goes. I'm in with the in crowd. Do, 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 do. Come on, somebody. Anybody remember that? Oh, you tell how old you guys are, right? Okay. So God doesn't want you to be without understanding. God wants you to have a full revelation of who he is and who you are and how much he loves you today. Amen. He doesn't want you on the outside, man. He wants you on the inside. Praise God. All right? Listen to what Jesus said. Do you not know yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach? The Pharisees were accusing the disciples, you know, of eating without unclean hands. And so Jesus had to address this because he said, look, guys, he said, don't you understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? You all understand that, right? Just want to make sure, all right? Biology 101. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from what? Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And then he begins to say that those things defile a man. So if our heart is not in that position of sonship, so many things can come out of our mouth and it's defiling us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because, you know, there's fear based there. A lot of people are walking in fear. As Christians, you should have no fear. Not even of spiders. Where's she at? She's back there this morning. Dave came in and said, my wife was just, you know, there's a little spider in the car this morning. She was just freaking her out, man, you know. No fear, man. Take authority over that spider. Amen. Man, take authority over those things. Guys, when fear starts to attack you, raise up in your spiritual authority as a son and daughter and say, no fear here. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Use that power, use that love, and have a sound mind. That's your position in Christ. No fear. Don't allow fear. Fear brings torment. Perfect love casts out fear. Sons and daughters know they are perfectly loved, even though they're not perfect. You just need to write that down somewhere. Sons and daughters know they are loved, even they're perfectly loved, even though they're not perfect. That wasn't even in my notes. That was just a Holy Spirit nugget for you. God loves you so much this morning. Wow. Fathom that. Try to even fathom that. That's why Paul said, I pray that prayer that you'd know the depth, the height, the length, the breadth of God's love for you. Why? Because he wants you to be so secure in your position. That's a believer. Amen. Praise God. Doesn't want you flipping out, freaking out. Amen. None of that. Y'all still with me? For out of the heart, for where? Actually, same thing as Proverbs 4:23. For out of the heart proceed what? Well, I thought that came from the head. No, if it's in your heart, it goes to your head. And then your head makes that decision. Do you hear what I'm saying? A lot of times our thoughts, we think, come through our head. No, they're in our heart already, especially if it's an orphan's heart, if it's one that's not been adopted into the family, one that hasn't that full security. Thoughts start to come into that heart, and then they're played out through your head, and then they're acted upon. Right? Because that heart's not been healed totally, because you haven't received all the full grace that God has for you. You know why? Well, you can mouth a lot of things, man, but if it's not in your heart, if it's not established there, it's not going to cause a pattern of life of success for you. You can mouth all day long, I'm a believer, but if it's not down in your heart and you really know, then you can mouth it all day long and it's not going to have any effect. You got to get it down in your heart and let that heart be healed totally with the blood of Jesus. He doesn't want you to have a broken heart. He says, man, he said, those broken hearts, those broken spirits, he says, I draw near to those. God draws near to you today. He doesn't want you to be without. Amen. He wants you to have fullness. Man, turn to somebody and say, you are so loved today. You're so loved that Jesus died for you. Amen. He loves you that much. He says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false blasphemies. That's why our prison system are so full of men and women with an orphan spirit. They never really knew who their daddy was. They never knew who their daddy belonged to or they belonged to. And so we have all this going on. And not only that, even the church today is still full of this because they're not sure of who they are. And so they lack and they look for relationships that are wrong, trying to fulfill them. Who said that this morning? Someone said that. Were we talking about that earlier? I don't know, but someone I was talking to, we were talking about fulfilling those relationships. God wants you to be solid. Amen. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad? Amen. Praise God. Because I know some of you have done that before. Hey, let's go and get something to eat, man. You know, so praise God. If it's blessed, it's blessed. Right? Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning about, you know, an orphan heart and dealing with temptation. Temptation is not sin. It is not sin. Every one of you are subject to temptation. It is not sin. Hello, are you hearing me? Sin, first of all, has been taken care of. You got to understand this, that sin, Jesus died for the sin of the world. All the world's sin has been taken care of. In fact, all the world's sin has been already eliminated. But people don't understand that, they don't know that, they don't believe that, and they don't receive that. And if they don't know it and they don't believe it and they don't receive it, you know, there's still going to be issues and problems. People, listen to me, even though sin has been taken away by the blood of Jesus, it's that powerful. It is that powerful. God's blood is that powerful. One drop of that blood eliminated all the sins of the world. People still sin. Even though that has taken place, people still sin. People still miss the mark. In fact, they miss the target. They don't even hit the mark, man. Sin is still taking place. Sin is forgiven. As a believer, you're still subject to sin. But your sin is forgiven. Amen? Don't let condemnation come into your life, because there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. When you do blow it, when you do something wrong, say, Lord, thank you, I'm forgiven, hallelujah, and go on, because you're a son. Just because my daughters may make a mistake, I'm not going to kick them out of the family. Right? Right? Amen. You know, you got to understand, God loves you so much this morning. Amen. Sin happens. And there are consequences here on earth for sin. Your sin's already gone, already it's done away with. But what happens with an orphan spirit, a lot of times they're so repetitive to repeat the same thing, it's because that's all they know. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Sin has consequences. Sin has issues. There are issues that go along with sin. I don't want to really talk a whole lot about sin. I really don't, but I just want to tell you, as a son of God, you overcome sin. As a daughter of God, you overcome sin. There is no habit in your life, anything that God cannot break and has broken, if you'll just receive full sonship. James 1, chapter 13. James 1:13. All right? James 1:13. Let's look at this a little bit. We're going to look at this. We're going to look at the process of sin, how it takes place, what happens. And I hope I'm going to leave you on a very high note today. All right? I don't want you to be down here going, oh, my God. No, I want to leave you up here. Amen? I want to leave you up here. But we got to go through this. I want to take you through this. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Temptation does not come from God. Now, many of you have Flip Wilson theology. Anybody remember Flip Wilson? You know, if you haven't remembered Flip Wilson, he was a great comedian. He was one of my favorite comedians, and he had dressed up as a woman that was a churchgoer, and her name was Geraldine. And Geraldine, when she'd come to church, she'd have her Bible, have her hat on, and they'd get in a conversation, and ultimately Geraldine would say, "Woo, the devil made me do it." Well, the devil doesn't make you do anything. You cooperate with the devil, but you have authority over him. In fact, the Bible says all authority has been given to us. So the only power he has is what you allow him to have. Did y'all get that? So God is not the tempter, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Wow. So temptation is not sin. It says we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires. What's in our heart will draw it out, and then what happens is when the bait is placed in front of us, we take the bait. I'm a fly fisherman. I love to fly fish. But you know what? I don't fly fish with just a barbed hook. I put feathers on that hook. I put different material on that hook, and I dress it up to look like an insect because I want that trout to look at that insect, not the hook, right? And so when I toss that out there, that trout comes by and says, "Wow, check that out. Oh, man, steak and potatoes." Shoo! And he grabs it, and he's hooked. The action took place, right? Then when desire has conceived, what happens? It gives birth. What does it give birth to? It gives birth to sin. Overcoming temptation starts when you know you're a son and a daughter and no longer an orphan. Then when desire is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Death. Now look at this. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." God wants you to understand, all in all, he is so good. And that's what he's saying. Nothing that comes your way is from him. He is nothing but good. And when you have sonship, you understand the goodness of God towards me, even when I blow it. Whoa, he still loves me and he's still good to me. Amen. Because that's based upon your performance, and God's love for you is not based on your performance, but Jesus' performance. Hallelujah. Whoa, and he is so good. Hallelujah. Man, that about makes me want to be a real evangelist. Ha! That makes me want to shout up in this place, man. Verse 18. You got to see this. "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creations." Can you put that up in the New Living Translation, the NLT? Can you find that back there, Brother Aaron? You do such a marvelous job. I should have given that to you earlier. So, he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. Birth as sons and daughters, by giving us his true words, and we, out of all creation, became his. Prized possession. You know, if our house was on fire, I know what my wife would grab. She would grab the pictures. No dog anymore. Don't have to worry about the dog. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise, just a grand dog. Come and visit us, love on him, send him back home. Yoo-hoo! Glory to God. Amen. She would grab the photos. Why? Because that's her prized possession in her house. She might grab me, but she'd grab the photos before. Amen. No, she'd grab me. But I know that you all have some prized possessions, some things that you value. You say, "Wow, I value that." Now, there's nothing more valuable than our kids, right? Grandkids, we love our family. Even my brothers I love. Some brothers you got to learn to love. I learned to love my brothers. Amen. They're awesome. Praise God. We always kid and tease each other all the time. But there's some prized value in your life. You've got something you really value. Think about that. You know, if your house was burning, what would you go to and grab out first? That's what God did to you. That's why the Bible says we're a brand plucked out of the fire. God loves you so much. He said, you're my prized possession. I'm not going to leave you there. Amen. I'm going to open up a door. The Bible says when temptation comes, he's to look for the open door. The open door is Jesus. He's always the open door. Amen. Look for that door. Amen. To escape. Praise God. God is there with you in all of that. He loves you today. Amen. An orphan will struggle with his identity, but a son will never struggle with his identity because he knows. Matthew 3:16. Matthew 3:16. Y'all getting this morning? Matthew 3:16. You got to see this. Okay, this is so powerful. Wow. Why did Jesus go through the wilderness? Why did Jesus go through the wilderness? Do you realize that Israel went through the wilderness? But they failed. The 40 days was represented the 40 years. They went through the wilderness and they complained against the leadership, against Moses. They complained. They didn't like what they were eating and God was sending manna from heaven. They complained against everything. They failed. They worshiped golden calves. They did all this kind of stuff. They were a mess. They had an orphan spirit. They did not have a heart of a son. That's why God sent his son. And the reason he went through the wilderness journey and the temptation was really not only for us, but to show Israel what a true son's heart is that knows the Father. Let me look at Exodus 4:22, and I want to show you this just a moment. Exodus 4:22. We're going to go back here. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is, but they didn't possess their sonship. They didn't take full advantage of all that God had for them. They didn't understand all that God was doing for them. They grumbled and complained and murmured against God. It never was good enough. Folks, I want to tell you, be glad for what you got. Rejoice over what God has given you. Amen. Just rejoice. If it's an old car, thank God for that old car. Polish it up. God will give you a new one if you just start thanking God for what you got. Amen. Thank God for your wife. Thank God for your husband. Thank God for your kids. Thank God for your cat. Thank God for your dog. Amen. Thank him. Part of an orphan's heart is they have no value of thanksgiving. All they do is murmur and complain. You ever know any Christians like that? Poke somebody and say, you know anybody like that? You know anybody that just murmurs and complains, never thankful, never grateful? It's really a sign of an orphan's heart. One of the greatest signs of a son is thanksgiving and praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You've been so good to me. Amen. You woke me up this morning. Hallelujah. You sent me on my way. Hallelujah. You put a new song in my heart. It's a brand new day. I'm rejoicing because this is the day the Lord has made. Hallelujah. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I am a son. I am a daughter of the Most High God. I overcome every day because of your love towards me. And they went through that wilderness, and so here's God's son. Let's go back to Matthew 3:16. Amen. Wow. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. I'm going to tell you, the greatest friend you have as a son is the Spirit. You can, if you ever feel a little bit of depression coming on, pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit flow through you. You need to speak in tongues. Yes. Amen? Yes. Praise God. It is the refreshing. Yes. It is refreshing. You cannot be depressed and pray in the Spirit at the same time. It is the sonship. It is the witness of the Spirit. It is the witness of the Son that you have in you. If you haven't received the baptism, you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. That's why Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. He said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send another comforter to you. Always with you. That is the power of sonship. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life on a daily basis. Oh, can I get an amen to that? Amen. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says, His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are what? The sons of God. Praise God, man. That is so powerful. When you know and have the Holy Spirit, the anointed one, and the anointing living within you, and you know that, there is no thing that you cannot overcome. I am, brother. Man, I'm trying my best. God's helping me. Thank you, Jesus. It isn't I, it's the Lord. But I want to tell you, God loves you so much this morning that He gave you that Spirit, placed it in your heart. Hallelujah. Draw from that Spirit, man. Not on your own strength. Draw out of the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of life flow through you. You have the Spirit in you. You know, the enemy wants you to forget that. Go on down. Suddenly, a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am somewhat pleased. Oh, sometimes. All the time. Before He even did anything. That's why people get so hung up in religion on performance. God says, Listen, man, it's not about your performance. It's about my Son's performance because He's perfect. I am well pleased. But God sees you in the same light. You are well pleasing to Him. You are well pleasing, Dave. You're well pleasing, guys. You're well pleasing. God sees you because of Jesus. When He looks at you, He sees Jesus. He doesn't look at your sin, your mistake. He looks all past that. He sees Jesus. And He says, You, my daughter, are mine. I am well pleased with you. You, my son, are mine. Y'all still with me? Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit, notice this, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Well, He went through the wilderness so you wouldn't have to go through the wilderness. Isn't that awesome? And when He had fasted 40 days, He had fasted 40 days. Now, folks, I've fasted a long time before. I've fasted 21 days, and I'm going to tell you, fasting 21 days, you're weak. You're like, man, I'm weak. You know, I'm hungry. Man, 21-day fast, no food, just liquid. You know, God led me into that. God will lead you into those things, amen? And it's for a reason, it's for a purpose, amen? Here He was, fasted 40 days and night. The enemy always comes to you in your weakest moment. That's what you need to understand, all right? Now, when the tempter came to Him, He said, what? Here's the snake. Yes. What did he say? If what? If you be 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 the Son of God, what was He after? His sonship, His identity, His relationship with the Father. The very first thing He came and said to Him, if, putting doubt in. That's what the enemy wants to do. Every time you go through temptation, he wants to put doubt in your mind. Oh, if you really were, you wouldn't. Every time you sin and make a mistake, he wants to put doubt in your mind. Oh, if you really were. He attacked his sonship. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But He answered and said, It is written. The Word of God is our security blanket. Hallelujah. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. A son knows his position, and he knows the Father's word. He knows the word, man. You cannot, man, overcome any other way but knowing that word. Listen to this, next one. Then the devil took him into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. What did Jesus respond? What did he say? What did he say? Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. When I was in college, we had a Bible college in Assemblies of God, Southeastern University now. We had a class, a pastoral class, and everybody was doing different ministries, and one of the guys was doing jail ministry, and he came back one day, and he said, man, I had the weirdest thing happen at the jail ministry. And he said, what happened? He said, you know, I was there, and he said, one of the officers there asked me to go down and talk to this particular prisoner because he kept saying he's God. And I said, okay. He said, I'll go down and talk to him. So he said, I went down. He said, I approached the cell, and this guy's in there in the corner just kind of mumbling things and, you know, carrying on. And I said, hey, sir. He said, how you doing? He said, I'm God. And my friend, you know, he was standing there a few minutes, didn't know what to think about this, you know. He said, pardon me? He said, I'm God. He said, man, you're not God. I'm God. He said, man, if you're God, quote for me, John 3:16. Guy was silent. He said, see, man, you're not. He said, if you're God, quote for me, Romans 3:23. Guy was silent. He said, man, you are not God. If you're God, quote for me Psalm 23. The guy turned to him and said, tempt not the Lord your God. I had to throw that in. I'm serious. Okay, you guys get that later, okay? All right. Again, the devil took him. It's a true story. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Now, don't you know that Jesus owned that already? How many know that? I'm going to show you something really powerful here. And why, as a son and daughter, the word of God is so important to us. That's why he said that we live by that word, right? And he said to him, all these things I will give you. Notice what he did. What did he leave out that time? If you are the son. Notice he left that out. Because you know what? The enemy, he's pretty smart. He knew that he knew the word. You know, the devil knows about you. You realize that? He knows about you and he's afraid of you. He knows it's greater is he that is in you than him. You got to listen to this a second. I want to show you this. He says, all these things I will give you if you will what? Fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then what happened? The devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. You want the devil to leave you alone? Just start giving him the word, man. Let him know who you are in him. Turn to Psalm 2:7-9. Psalm 2:7-9. We're going to close on this point. I'm not even going to get over to your to relationships. We'll get over to that next Sunday. It's going to be a great message. He said, I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. What? You are my son. Today I have begotten you. This is a fulfillment of the scripture of Jesus Christ. This is a prophetic word of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Ask of me, and I will give you what? The nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Whoa, you shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. You know what? Jesus was so secure because he knew the word of God. He was so secure in his sonship. On the third temptation, he was saying, buddy, I already got this. I already got this because the promise my daddy said back here in Psalm 2, it's already mine. Hallelujah. So when the enemy tries to steal from you, you remind him, amen, I already got this. He says, I've already got it in my possession. It's in my possession, Satan. Amen. And if you've got it, you got it. Amen. Sons and daughters know they got it. Praise God. You are not without. You are not lacking. You have it today. Amen. You are full of his grace and power and love. Praise God. You are full with the Holy Spirit today. You are full with his word today. You overcome every time. Amen. Because he loves you today. Amen. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Praise God. That's who you are, a full son and daughter today. So when you walk out of this place this week, you know who you are in Jesus Christ. I am a son. I am a daughter of the Most High. I am beloved of him. Amen. I overcome temptation. Chocolate cake. Woo. Man, that's a tough one for me. Anybody else? Anybody else love chocolate cake? Man, you know what? Anybody else love ice cream? I love ice cream. There's an old song. Remember the song, Get All Excited, Go Tell Everybody That Jesus Christ Is King? You remember that, Doug? Huh? You remember that, Doug? I heard a little kid singing that one time. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus likes ice cream. Get all excited, go tell everybody. And I thought, man, that is true. I believe he does. Amen? Wow. Well, that's what, this is my heart for you. I want you to live the fullness of life that God has for you. I don't want you to be entangled or overcome in any area of your life. I want to see you victorious, living your life, laying hands on the sick, and them recovering, raising the dead. Amen. Praise God. Nothing too hard. God is with you today, overcoming any financial thing you have. You're facing. God says, I'm with you today. Amen. I want to prosper you. I want to bless you. I'm your daddy. I'm not going to withhold any good thing. Wow. Hallelujah. No good thing will he withhold from me. Amen. If it's a good thing, I was out the airport the other day, and a guy came by, and he's looking at my little plane, and he said, man, that's a really nice plane, man. He said, you know what? You're really blessed to have that. He said, that's a real blessing. He said, God gave you that plane. And I said, you know he did, because I didn't have a whole lot to do with it. I said, God did it, man. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Because he withholds no good things. You know what? The Bible says he wants to give you the desires of your heart. And when your heart is in that place of sonship, he bursts those things in your life. Amen. Stand this morning. Praise God. Give God some praise today. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow, you are a son of and the daughter of the Most High. You are. You're a son and the daughter of the Most High. Turn to somebody and say, you're sitting next to a son, if you're a guy. Sit next to, if you're a woman, say, hey, sit next to a daughter here. Let's have no, what's that called? What is it called? Confusion, right? Amen. I don't know. Praise God. But I want you to lift your hands up to him this morning. Father, come on, say out of your mouth. Father, thank you today. I am a son, a daughter of the Most High. I praise you today. I am so secure in my sonship. I live in that sonship. That's my position because you love me today. I overcome. Victory is my word. Victory is my heart. Thank you, Lord, for creating in me that heart of a son, of a daughter. I receive fullness in my life today. Fullness in my life today. Not by works, but by grace. Grace, you've given this to me. You empowered me with grace today to overcome. I overcome today. I'm an overcomer. Only by your grace. Thank you, Lord. When I blow it, I'm still a son. My heart is a heart of a son, a heart of a daughter today. I am deeply loved and highly favored. I walk in righteousness. Therefore, I am empowered to prosper in every area of my life. I prosper today. In Jesus' name. Come on, give him some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Woo! Praise God. Man, I'm excited, man. God's got you today. Praise God. I want you to hug some people this morning and say, you are deeply loved. Would you do that? Care students, if you're coming back this year, you're a care student. I need to see you just a few minutes after this today. Hang out. Praise the Lord.